Well, good morning, everyone. So, I started this series, I guess, going to be a few lessons on a history of the journey of the pilgrims called by God, and which journey we are continuing. We are a part of that journey. And we looked last time at Abraham and the covenant made with Abraham. You know, there were righteous individuals on the earth before Abraham that walked with God. But it really seems like with Abraham is where this journey began. And it seems that in the days of Abraham, even his own father, the world had gone the way of idolatry. And so God chooses Abraham, and through his descendants, in this journey that would begin with them, to draw the world's attention back to the one Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so that purpose in mind was to draw the attention of the world back to God. So God then raised up a leader for them, Moses, to lead them. These descendants of Abraham, as we know, were taken into slavery in Egypt. God raises up another leader to lead them out of slavery, this being Moses. And so we read about throughout Exodus that God is, through Moses, raising, leading these people. And Moses says that a prophet like unto me, the Lord God will raise up, and in him you will hear and obey. So Moses goes off the scene. He gives his farewell, and you can read about that in Deuteronomy chapters 31 through 34. And then God raises up Joshua. So Joshua comes on the scene as a new leader, and now in the formation of Israel to lead them across into the promised land, where there they would take the promised land and dwell. So we looked also at Joshua's farewell after his time of leadership and leading God's people. And so now we are a continuation of this journey of God's people as pilgrims. And that's why I had asked Charlotte to bring the two songs there. This world is not our home, and here we are but straying pilgrims. So to put us in remembrance that we sing with the spirit and the understanding of who we are, the people of God, that we are pilgrims. This world is not our home, and we are just passing through on our journey. So then today we'll see that we'll talk a little bit here about being a community, just as they were a community. They were a community that worshiped God. They came together, I think it was like three times a year, and had these feasts. And these feasts were times of worship, of bowing down before God. And they also had communal gatherings every Sabbath, where the law of the Lord would be read, and again the people would remember their purpose, who they were, their identity, and again focus on the journey from their fathers before them. So we also then continue on. We are a chosen people, as Peter tells us, and we continue on in this journey, and we have our farewells. Different leaders rise and go amongst the people of God as we all go the way of the earth. So you know, I think that when we say goodbye to various leaders, it's different than the world. When we go to a funeral, someone in the world died. You know, we can look at our leaders who God has called home, and not just our leaders, but anyone in the body, in along this journey, and for us, it's not a moment of sadness, but it's a moment of joy, because we can look at them and know that they finished the course, that they ran well, and now they have gone on to their reward. And so for the Christians, as we bury one another, it should be a time of rejoicing that we finished in the Lord. Unlike the world, where Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Much different setting of those who have no hope. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 and 12. It says, now these things happened to them, those of the Old Testament age, those who began the journey, who went before us, the people of God, that these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instructions, upon whom the end of the ages have come. And he tells us to take heed, therefore, if we think we stand, to make sure that we do not indeed fall, to continue on in the Lord. So these things that we read about and the journeys that they went on and all that happened in their lifetime, these were written and left for us to read and to learn from it. Romans 15:4 is really a companion passage to 1 Corinthians 10 that we looked at. And Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. So we do look back, and we can learn many things from their journey with God as His people. And God intends for us to do that, that we don't make the same mistakes they made, that we don't walk in unbelief like many of them did. And so, you know, it's interesting. They never had such a thing where they could look back and learn from others. I mean, maybe toward the latter end of the Old Testament age, there were some writings coming about, and they could look back and see, or about oral historians passing along, they could look back and learn and remember. But we're really privileged. We're really privileged that we have not only the New Testament, but we have the Old Testament, that we have every advantage to learn from them and to walk in faith and not make the same mistakes they did in their journeys. So from the time that their journeys began to the going into the promised land, and until this age in which we live in the new covenant age, there's examples left for us in the Old Testament that illustrate about community, about the journey, about our purpose, and about the farewell of God's people amongst each other. So if you turn to Judges chapter 2, Judges chapter 2, we're going to look at the period. There was a period that came after Moses and Joshua led them into the promised land, a period of God set up judges to rule over the people. In other words, God always provides leadership for his people. And here in Judges chapter 2, we'll look at verse 16. It says, the descendants, let's go to chapter 2. It might say something to us. It does. Chapter 2, verse 16 says, then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they played the harlot after other gods and bowed themselves down to them. They turned aside quickly from the way in which their fathers had walked, in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do as their fathers. When the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed and afflicted them. But it came about when the judge died that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not abandon their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he said, "Because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not." So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give to them the hand of Joshua. So there were notable judges like Deborah and Gideon that led the people. And the judges spoke for God. God was then giving the people leaders to present his word to them. And so this time period of the judges highlights the community reliance on God through the judges for deliverance and guidance. So through the patriarchs, the prophets, the judges, and we'll see the kings, to God finally sending his own son, as Jesus spoke of in the parable, to apostles, elders, and then faithful men teaching faithful men, God has always given leaders to lead his people, to present his word. In this continuation of examples and stories in the Old Testament, we don't want to bypass the story of Ruth. And so let's go to Ruth chapter 1. That would be your next book over from Judges. Ruth chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 16 and 17. So now, a little background here that you're probably familiar with. But Naomi's husband died. And her two sons died. Well, Ruth was her daughter-in-law that was married to one of her sons. And there was two daughter-in-laws. And one went back to her people where she had come from before the marriage. And Naomi is encouraging Ruth that she should probably do the same thing, go back to her people. And but we're going to see here what Ruth's reply was. So she says here, verse 16, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me.'" You know, that's kind of like what we think of as vows that people give to each other when they get married. You know, at least that's the way it should be, that your God will be my God, you know, speaking of the Christian community, and your people, the church, will be my people, and nothing will separate us but death. And we see that's what God had in mind in Romans chapter 7, that the law of marriage was to be until death separated them. The story of Ruth is exemplified in its themes of loyalty and community. And that's what we want to see amongst ourselves. So Naomi represents a significant commitment to family and faith, this story here of Naomi and Ruth, a commitment to family and faith. And that's who we are. We are family. Ruth's eventual inclusion into the lineage of David, as she winds up marrying Boaz, and through that marriage, King David is born. And so it shows how individuals can impact God's plan to help his people. And we are each individuals. And God has a plan for each one of us. We all play a part in God's purpose. And so we need to rejoice in that, each one of us, in that the things that God calls us to, whatever they may be, are all part of the plan for God's people on this journey. So, next, we come to Samuel. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel, just go over one more book. See, I make it easy. Just one more book. Just 1 Samuel chapter 12. And with the beginning with Samuel, he was a prophet, of course, but this was the establishment of the monarchy, the beginning of kings after Samuel. The establishment of kingship represented a new phase in this community, and Samuel gives his farewell address in 1 Samuel 12, and he reflects on Israel's journey, their request for a king, in God's ongoing faithfulness, and he encourages the people to remain faithful to God amidst this changing of leadership. And that would be what we would encourage as Steve and his generation of leaders pass on. That would be the encouragement to you, is to continue on in the faith and be faithful and loyal to God. So let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 19. Then all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God so that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king." Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have committed all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver because they are futile. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself." So we'll stop right there, and I want to emphasize that the reason, okay, they messed up, they sinned, a great sin, but Samuel says, "I don't want you to be so discouraged that you turn from the way, that you quit following the Lord, but turn to God in your repentance. And he's faithful and just to forgive you. And I'll tell you why. For his great namesake." That should be a comfort to every one of us. That God will not abandon you if you do not abandon him. Why? Because you're so great? No. Because he's so great. Because he has given his word And so for his name's sake, you do not forsake God, and he will not forsake you. That should be a great comfort. A great comfort. Maybe it's something I want to be thinking about when I die. That because of, for his great name's sake, I know I'm going to be saved. If for no other reason. But it's because I chose to abide in him, to keep walking with him. If I stumble, I get back up, wipe myself off, ask God in sincerity of my heart to forgive me and go on. But he's saying here, you must not turn aside. You must not. That is the one thing that can do you in, because God has chosen us, he's saying. And we're familiar. Let's just turn from it. Hold on to this. I'm going to come back to this passage and finish it up. But I want to just bring you to remembrance in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, 4. It says, just as he chose us in him. I want you to recognize how many times this context in Ephesians, even the first 15 verses, make reference to Christ, been in Christ, through Christ, Christ the Beloved, purposed in him, summing up all things in him, in Christ, in him, sealed in him. It's why he has chosen us. This too we need to think about. Not because we are so great, but because we are in him. And being in him, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before he even made the world. This was his plan, that anyone in him he was going to save. Because of him, Jesus, his sacrifice we just remembered, in him, because of his great name, he's going to save us. That should give you great peace and great comfort. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all that. You read all of Ephesians 1. It's very rich, very powerful. Become familiar with it, and it'll bring peace to your heart. Ephesians chapter 1. But let's go back to 1 Samuel 12 and finish this chapter. It says in verse 23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away. If you do not repent, if you do not change, if you continue in wickedness, then he will not save you. If you go to Romans chapter 8, and we'll read a few verses. I'm going to start in verse 29. Romans 8, 29 says that for those whom he foreknew, that was those in him we just talked about in Ephesians 4, Ephesians 1. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. You see that? Many brethren like him, conformed to his image. That's what God can work in us through faith. Look at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. I think if God was going to change his mind about saving us, He would have did it before he delivered Jesus up to the cross. Now that that has happened, God is not going to be so quick to let you go. That sacrifice will not be in vain. And he did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Verse 38, he says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, it's in Christ. It's why God loves us so much. He loves us in the Beloved. And that's who he has made us, in the Beloved. So the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you and I his people in Christ. God willing, next time up, we will continue on considering lessons to be learned in this journey of the community of God's people. Let's stand and we'll have word prayer.